Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the EFES Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. Chase Urich here with the EFES Nation Podcast. We are back. We took a little bit of a break. As you can imagine, AEP this year has been insane. This is episode 34, and we found a little bit of time here with AEP not slowing down by any means, but we found a couple of minutes to be able to jump in and knock out a podcast here, a well overdue podcast during this awesome AEP. Hope it for all of you that are listening in, I hope it's been a great AEP for you. If you're not involved in Medicare, hopefully your business is flourishing. You're having a great closeout to the year with it being quarter four. But today, I'm not going to say it's weird. It's just different because my guest today on this podcast is someone that I know very well, very well. But what we try and do on this podcast is we try and bring in successful producers and agents that we work with and leaders within within our respective business to share perspective. And today, the reason I said it's not weird, but it's just going to be a little different is because this guy I know very well. Like I said, it's my son, Colin Urich. He's 21 years old in the business. Colin, how are you, bud?
Doing good. I'm excited to be on. Thanks for having me.
I know. Our buddy who's been on the podcast, your buddy, my buddy, who's been on the podcast a few times, Holden Hassel, was like, man, get this guy on a podcast because, not because you're my son, no nepotism here, but this AEP, you're absolutely crushing it. I know last year was your first, technically your first AEP, but this is really your first full-fledged AEP. And I'm gonna shout it out. Proud dad, but also, you know, leader of Equid. I'm gonna say this: on pace to do over 260 Medicare plans this enrollment. This AEP, insane. Proud of you. It's awesome to see your growth. I want to talk today for everybody listening in. We're not discriminating with age here, but it is powerful. 21 years old. I'd love to take all the credit for this, but I can't. I can't take any of the credit, actually. But for everybody listening in, I'm excited to have you with us just to provide some perspective. There's a lot of young people getting into our industry that are looking to find success, whether it be in life insurance, Medicare, annuities, all different types of markets. What a great opportunity to have you on with us as a guy who's young, 21 years old, and just coming in swinging immediately right out of the gate. I want to start off today, Colin. I want to give a little bit of a background to those that are listening in. What were you doing? There wasn't much time because you're only 21, but what were you doing before you found this industry?
Yeah, so right before I got in, I was attempting to continue my college football dreams as every athlete hopes to do, but yeah, that ended after, you know, I got injured. I believe it was like a month and a half into the season. And I was just really stuck and I had no idea what to do. There was always this thing in the back of my mind, you know, dad does insurance. Dad's in the insurance business, right? And it was always there, but I didn't immediately hop into it. I kind of knew that I wanted to try and get into it, but it wasn't an immediate hop into it and start getting going. I remember I got a job at Kohl's, and I was working the 5:30 a.m. shift straight from getting back from playing college football, and that was not fun. And I remember speaking with you, and I was just like, I can't do this. I just can't do this for the rest of my life. This is not me. And it was brutal. 5:30 a.m. in the cold. It was in November, so it was just brutal. I knew I couldn't do it. And then I remember I told you, I think I want to finally get into the insurance business. And you're like, okay, gotcha. Got to take your test first. And I think after my fourth time attempting the test, which I've never been a big test taker, which is probably why I didn't get the college route in the first place, which I kind of happy I didn't do that. But after the fourth test, you know, I finally passed my test and I got straight into it. And, you know, why I wanted to get into it, I always saw the guys that were around you guys, around Equita. I always thought they were really cool. They were really, you know, you guys had a lot of passion for what they were doing and just the community that Equita had. It reminded me of the locker room, like the football team. You have your superstars. You have the guys that, you know, aren't as good as the superstars, but everyone's treated like a team. And I always wanted to be a part of something like that. And that's what really excited me to get into it.
That's cool. I remember telling you when you were talking about initially getting into it, I was like, nah, dude, you got to go get a job. Go see the real world. Because you knew there, you knew and I knew there wasn't going to be any nepotism. Like, you were going to be treated just like everybody else with respect and poured into and all that. But you needed to go see the real world first. And you definitely did that. You definitely, you know, got to see, see what, you know, how the other half lives in terms of what it takes to be an adult. And you saved your money. You did a good job, all that fun stuff. But when you made that decision, it was like, okay, well, you're going to work with a mentor here. You're going to work with somebody that can show you how to be successful. It's not going to be dad. And, you know, shout out Holden Hassel for working with you. Shout out Jeremy Johnson here, the virtual specialist, for doing what he does. But you just jumped right into the culture. You jumped into the deep end. And where are you, like, where you started, obviously, is not where you are today, in not just in terms of skill set and how efficient you are at what you do. You also completely started on a total opposite end of the spectrum in terms of how you generate business. Tell us a little bit about where you started and how you were generating business or attempting to, and then where you are today.
Yeah. So when I first started, I was obviously in person, and I can remember the very first blitz we went on down to Beaumont was really like my, I think it was like my third month in the business. We were just door knocking because it was a rough area. Holden was out there. You were out there. And the door knock approach compared to what I'm doing now is completely different, obviously. It was a little bit more of a grind. It was a culture shock for me. And I think it was the best thing that could have happened before I got into virtual, because it's hard to talk to somebody in person, especially coming straight out of basically high school is what it was, because it was 3 months after I was out of high school, 4 months. And sitting there and learning, okay, I got to talk to this person. I got to make them understand the right way why we're doing what we're going to do. And in person, I feel like helped me develop the communication skills more than anything. The grind, I feel like I always would have worked hard no matter what. That's just always who I've always been. Everything I do, I want to be the complete the best at whatever I do, right?
And, but you were at a little bit of a disadvantage, wouldn't you say, because of how young you were? Would they tell you that when you were in the house?
And they're like, are you sure you're old enough to do this? I was like, I got my license. I'm pretty sure I'm old enough. I'm licensed in the state of Texas. Yeah, I remember I talked to Jeremy Gordy, and I was telling him that they would always make fun of my age, and they're like, I don't know, you seem a little bit too young to do this. So that was a little bit of a disadvantage. But at the end of the day, I feel like I kept just trying to work around that and tell him, hey, you know, my father, he's been in the business over 20 years, and this kind of the workaround is get him those examples of, hey, my mentor, Holden Hassel, you know, he's going to be connected with me on the phone today. This is working around those things, but yes, definitely at a disadvantage from being very young.
So now going from face to face, you're fully focused and doing it virtually. Is that correct?
Yes.
Correct. How is that working for you? I know obviously you're having success. In terms of a preference, does that just work better for you?
I would say I'm a lot more comfortable, and the community, like this, the community and the camaraderie at the office, you know, I come up here, Equita obviously allow, you know, us virtual agents to show up at the office, and having Jeremy Johnson here, I'm Holden Hassel plugged in over the phone, and just Jeremy switching from in-person to virtual was just so huge, because you have Jeremy Johnson, who's the virtual guru. You know, last year, did I lose you? Oh, I thought I lost you. Oh, last year, you know, I did maybe, 20, 25, 30 Medicare apps at most. And I switched to virtual, having, you know, Holden Hassel and the virtual guru, Jeremy Johnson, it completely switched things. You know, having those two mentors just, you know, pour into me and to say, hey, the work ethic's there, but you have to, you know, fine tune everything in order to get where you want to go. You can work as hard as you want, but if you're not saying the right things, it doesn't really matter. And it was getting with him, his virtual script with Holden's, you know, his day one stuff that was, you know, implemented in me. And then just fine tuning it with JJ's virtual stuff was just, it was massive. And it was just huge.
Yeah. It's cool to see the maturation process with you. Like not as dad, that's cool, obviously, but to see where you were when you started, it's like any agent that, and any producer that we work with, we love seeing those steps forward. And it was funny listening to you. I say funny in a good way. Where you start, it's kind of like watching a newborn baby deer try and get up and start walking and stumble all over the place. To see where you are today, when we do those check-ins to see where you're at, like how are you getting with the terminology, you know, new plan changes, this AEP, all kinds of stuff being thrown at you. For a young guy in the business, that's a little tough to be able to digests like a fire hose being shot at you. You've done a really good job at that, and being able to, and I appreciate, and I like the fact that you throw the admiration out to those that have poured into you and your mentors. You've been able to imbibe that, though, and there's some credit to be taken on your end for continuing to sharpen your skill set. And that's one thing that I think has helped you and will continue to help you throughout your career, is the fact that you're not okay with what I've done today. That's not going to be the end all be all. That's not my award that I'm going to hang on the wall. Even though you've done a great job, you understand that there is a process that I have to follow, and that there's a standard that you've set for yourself, which is my favorite part of watching your maturity in this business. And selfishly, it's my favorite of watching any producer we work with. That standard that you've set for yourself, it's not I didn't get anything today, or I only got two today. Like, you hold yourself to a high standard, which is, it's uncommon for not just someone your age, but for someone that's only been in the business right around a year and a half. That's not common to hold yourself accountable to that standard of, I expect to do this. I'm going to put the work in. I expect to see this result. And that's been something that I've marveled at just in your short time doing this. I want to ask you, what was your initial thought? You kind of shared a minute ago about face-to-face. What was your initial thought when you first got into the business? Did you see this being a long-term thing, a career? Or was this just something for you where it's like, I can make a few bucks and then move on? What were your thoughts on the business initially?
I think everyone, when they first start, probably thinks, oh, this is a long-term thing, until you get those doors slammed in your face over and over and over. But I always knew, I the guys that we see, you know, the Tony Bowens, you know, the those type of guys, you see that the Joe Chachos, the longevity that they have, you'd be kind of dumb to say that this isn't a career, because you see the longevity of those guys' career, that they've been doing it for such a long time at a high level, that I definitely thought it was a career that I see myself doing for the long run. But at the same time, you know, I was 19 and I was getting this door slammed in my face at the doors. That kind of did steer me in the direction of thinking, like, dang, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I should just go back to college, you know, get a regular job. But then it was just kind of realizing that once I get over that hump, you know, of the door slams on my face and stuff like that, that it was there is light on the other side of that, right? And you know, it was at the point, I remember you threw a number out there, and it was that 92% people fail in their first 6 months, right? And I was like, well, if 92% of the people fail in their first 6 months, I want to be in the 8% of that. So yeah. Who do I think can be in the 8%? And so I told myself that if I could just get through 6 months, then it would be a career for me. Then it would be something that, you know, I can get into, like the Joe Chachos, the longevity. And the longevity was on the other side of that 6 months. And I said, let's just get through the first 6 months. If you get through the first 6 months, then it is a career. And it was hard getting through the first 6 months, but I remember that number that you threw out, the 92%, and I told myself, this is going, I'm going to be a part of that 8%. And we saw a lot of people around myself fall off, and I told myself, I'm not going to let myself be one of those people.
So now that you're starting to find success, you've paid your dues, you're continuously learning product, you're continuously learning how to speak to clients. You know, something that you've always done a really good job at is when you hear leaders within our organization talk about treating people with respect, serving others. We hear you on the phone, even in situations where you can get a little frustrated, you still treat them with respect, love them up, and treat them like their mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. What would you attribute the success you found? And trust me, there's a group of people rooting for you and the rest of the team on hitting big numbers this AEP. What do you attribute your success to that you found so far in the preliminary early stage of your career?
Just the community of Ecuador, really. It's such a good community. It's like, you know, I come from a very, you know, successful football program in high school, you know, Salina High School. And I compare Ecuador to that because just the community that's around you, you're not alone. You can pick up the phone. You can call Holden Hassel, you can call Jim D'Amato, you can call Jeremy Johnson. And I, you know, stuff like that, that you don't really get at other places, I would say. And it's just a community. Pick up the phone, you can call for help, the hotline. And it's just sharing your success stories. Hey, I got this sell today. And it's just kind of like competing with each other. Like, you know, Jim D'Amato did this today. Man, I'm only 21, but I want to compete with Jim D'Amato, Josh Sullivan, you know, Jason Horn. those guys. So I'd say just the Equita community, the chat, you know, see everyone dinging their stuff. That makes you, it should make you excited when you see, you know, Jason Horn ding 13 cells in one day. It should, if he can do 13, I got to do six today. You know, I want to compete with those guys. I would say the competitiveness and just the community of Equita, it's just, there's nothing like it. And I think I have to attribute my success to that because it's just, it's kind of like football. It all relates to each other. You know, you're competing with each other. You know, you have a great team. When you have a great team of leaders, you know, the contracting team that gets stuff done, Macy, who works with Holden, getting us prepared for AEP, all the certifications that she reminds us to do that I would not get done unless she reminded me to do. Holden, you know, they all send it out, just reminders and stuff like that. So just the community of everything is definitely a massive part. And it wouldn't be able to, all the apps, applications that you submit wouldn't be able to get done with all of that, without all of that.
Yeah, and that's something I was going to touch on with you as well. And you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of moving parts to this industry just getting started. Not just the stress of actually helping people and making sales, building a living in this industry. There's a lot of stuff that gets thrown at a new agent when they first get going. Got to take my test. I got to pass it. But then after that, it's you've got to get contracted. Those writing numbers, I've got to organize. I got to know where to, you know, to plug them in and then pull up the e-applications. And then, oh my gosh, I'm doing Medicare now also with life. And there's this Sunfire thing I have to learn. There really is a lot of moving parts to this. What helped you kind of consolidate and take a deep breath and feel comfortable with all of it?
What helped me feel a lot more comfortable was there's a person, an individual here for every single thing you need. Contracting, you know, Tammy on the Medicare side, Brooklyn helps with all the final expense side. Any questions I have, I go to them, they answer it, and it's done. You know, I think I needed a contract somebody like 3 days ago, and I'm already writing a policy for that company today because they got it done so quickly. And then, you know, you go to, for anything Medicare questions related, you can always get an answer from somebody. So with that making it so much easier for me, if I need this done, I know who to ask. If I need help on this, if I need help writing a policy, you know, help writing a Medicare app, there's always someone that is there to help me no matter what I need. And I think that's the biggest part is you're not left on your own. And if you're left on your own, it can get pretty difficult for sure.
Yeah, having a nice support staff around you and team is big. You mentioned the mentors and the team here at Equita. That's awesome to hear. And we'll look to kind of close this out. We were going to keep it a little brief today. I didn't want to hold you up. I know you got a lot of people to talk to, and we'll have to do this again soon. Holden's like already texting, like, dude, we got to do one with me and JJ and Colin. So I definitely want to get you back on after AEP, after you've been able to take a deep breath and relax a little bit. But knowing you, I know you won't. Any parting words that you'd throw out there to anybody and everybody listening in right now about, you know, as a 21-year-old and then fresh new 21-year-old, just turned 21 in September, any words of encouragement you throw out there to any of the youngsters that are out looking to get into the business?
Yeah, I would say that don't be afraid to kind of take that jump because you gotta want to be in something that if your results is all depending on how much you get paid is depending on your effort. And I want to get paid for the amount of work I put in and the amount of people that I help. You know, in other situations, in other industries, you don't get that. Now, the more people you help, and I heard Joe Basso, you know, say this on one of the, I think it was on the podcast with you, actually, on this podcast. You know, the people over profit thing that really, you know, resonated with me before AEP, something I dove into very deeply, is the more people I help, the more I'll get paid. So I think being so young, I was so worried about how much money am I going to make as soon as I get in, how much money this, that. But when you take the money out of the equation, I kind of I dove headfirst into this and I was reading, you know, the more people I take care of, the better I'll get paid. So if you take the money out of the equation, just help more people, and you'll get paid regardless. And I think the most frustrating part is when you go week, you know, maybe day after day without a sell. And, you know, this reading is actually this story in the Bible that goes, you know, the fishermen, they're out there fishing all day, right? And, you know, they're casting, you know, the rod and no fish. Well, you know, there's this guy that named Jesus that walks out there, right? He says, hey, just cast one more time and have faith. Well, I think that relates to our business so much. And that's something that I really, you know, got into deeply before AEP. you know, just cast one more rod, you know, one more line and have faith. And then you pull up the whole net of fish, right? The whole net. I guess it was nets. So I using rods back then, but nets, right? And they pull out the massive thing of fish. And I think that's how I relate AEP is for me, you know, just praying to the right people get in front of me and just casting one more net each day and the fish are going to come in, right? Not relating the seniors to fish, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's your, I wish I was as mature and as wise when I was your age. I was a knucklehead, but I'm proud of what you've done. And I know Joe Basso is going to love hearing that you listened to the podcast and took something away. Awesome stuff, man. Proud of you. Fired up for you. All of FS Nation just knocking it out of the park this AEP. Also on the life side, absolutely crushing it this entire year. Big things happening. Glad you're a part of it. And we'll have to get together again soon, bud. Appreciate you. All right. Awesome having you guys plugged in with us today. Like I said, episode 34. If there's something that you're struggling with out in the marketplace right now, you know, if you're not making the sales, you're not hitting the numbers you'd like to hit, we're not real big on, you know, using this podcast as a platform to recruit to, but we are more than happy to help you. If you're looking to get off that hamster wheel of life insurance, continue to sell at a high level, but build in a six-figure residual income, we're more than happy to help you have that, you know, that solution presented and have that conversation with you. So there's a number below. You can go to fsnation.com, theequitagroup.com as well. Multiple websites, multiple platforms to find us at, and we'd love to talk to you, and we'll see you guys again next time.
Thanks for listening to the EFES podcast. For more, visit EFESnation.com and subscribe to the podcast catalog on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.